Hi, everybody. Welcome to Out of the Park Now. Well, hey, everybody. Welcome to Out of the Park Now. I'm your host, Rich Grisham. So happy that you're here with us. We have a really fun show for you this week. What we have is we have the interview section from this past week's amazing live stream with the great Brett Phillips of the Tampa Bay Rays. You probably know Brett the same way that most people in the world know of Brett for his incredible walk-off hit in Game 4 of the World Series when his Tampa Bay Rays defeated the Dodgers in that game. Of course, the Dodgers wound up winning the World Series, as Out of the Park Baseball correctly predicted. But Brett had one of the all-time great World Series hero moments. And so we had a live stream with him this past week, which it'll be in the notes, the YouTube link. I strongly recommend that you go watch the whole video, especially the end. It was one of the most fun moments I've had in my 7+ years working with Out of the Park Development. It's an incredible time. But what we did for this podcast is we took the interview section and we added the audio of it here because Brett is just a wonderful guy, and he's had a really interesting career, a very short amount of time, but he's been on a few different teams and he's been traded and he's won a minor league player of the year and he's moved from a few different organizations and some trades with some big names. And he's just a really great guy. I was absolutely delighted to get to know him a little bit. And he is now absolutely one of my favorite players. And I know he will be one of yours too. So this week, we've got the audio of the interview section of that live stream. Before we get to the show, though, with the great Brett Phillips, I want to make you aware of a couple of things. Number one, Franchise Hockey Manager 7 is available today for pre-order. You can get it for 10% off. It comes out on Wednesday, December 16th. It's got all sorts of cool new features, including a brand new 2D match engine, which everybody is really excited about. You can check out what that looks like on our YouTube channel as well. We have a couple of archives from the unveiling and the show on Wednesday where they did the deep dive on the features. So if you go to otpdevelopments.com, you can pre-order it today, get 10% off the $39.99 price. If you're a Steam person, no problem. You can wish list it right now. And the first week that it's out, you'll also get that same 10% off. So go check out Franchise Hockey Manager 7. And of course, Out of the Park Baseball 21, the definitive baseball strategy experience, the ultimate baseball sandbox. You can get it from us at otpdevelopments.com or from Steam. It is the off-season price of just $19.99. So go check those out. All right, so thank you again for being here. And here is the great Brett Phillips. And when we start talking to him is right after we watch the clip of that amazing walk-off hit and error and runners falling down and craziness and him doing the airplane. So we pick up the show with Brett right after we watch the replay of the amazing Game 4 World Series walk-off hit. Brett Phillips, welcome. How are you, sir?
Rich, what's going on, man? Thank you so much for having me, man. What an honor. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you so much for being here. This is going to be great. It's impossible for that to ever get tired, right? Impossible.
Man, you know, first of all, it was a heck of a run. I wish things would have, you know, gone differently and we won the World Series, but you got to give credit where credit is due. The Dodgers played a heck of a series, so my hat's off to them. But for the moment in Game 4 with my team celebrating, man, it does not get old. And it's really still hard to comprehend what actually happened.
So many questions I have for you about this, but let's walk through the at-bat, right? Like, were you expecting, you know, as that inning was unfolding, were you expecting to get the call? And when you did get the call, what was your approach? Like, what were you trying to accomplish? Obviously, you're trying to get hit, but, like, you know, what was your approach to that at-bat?
Yeah, so I kind of want to bring you through the backstory leading up to that at-bat. I wasn't on the roster for the ALCS. Obviously, with COVID going this year, we played 7 straight, so they needed another pitcher, which, you know, worked out. And the night before the World Series started, I didn't know if I was going to even be on the roster or not. Kevin Cash calls me up, says, hey, we're going to activate you. And you may possibly not get an at-bat, but you're going to pinch run and you're going to play defense for us and go help us win a ball game, right? So I was like, let's do it. So I had played, I think, in the second game out in the field, and then I had pinch run maybe in game three or played in the field. And so game four rolls around, and everyone who watched the game knows it was a back and forth. Like, the Dodgers were up, and then we would go up, and then the Dodgers would go up, and then Kevin Cash would use someone off the bench each inning, right? So I'm sitting on the bench, I'm watching this unfold, and sure enough, in the eighth inning, we had used 13 position players already, which is unheard of in an American League game, right, with a DH. And so me being the 14th guy, the last guy on the bench, I go and I pinch run for G-Man Choi. And I forget who ends up striking out. And then I go out to the field, three up, three down. And then I'm coming into the dugout and I'm thinking that I'm ninth in the order. Well, the coach comes up to me and says, hey, you're up fifth in the order. You're going to win this game for us. Now, nice. On the outside, I was like, yeah, like, heck yeah, I'm going to win this game for us. But on the inside, I was like, are you crazy? Like, dude, come on. I haven't played in 17 days. Like, I haven't had a hit for 30 days. Like, what do you mean I'm going to win this game for us? Like, that was like inside, like, going on, right? So I go into the batting cage. I hadn't taken a swing, you know, the whole game. And so I'm in there thinking that if I come up to bat, I'm up fifth. I'm probably going to see a lefty. We're going to get a matchup. So I'm in there taking left-handed BP, right? I'm taking some swings, and I'm watching, you know, the TV from the ballpark cam, and I'm seeing Yoshi Tsutsugo. I think he might have popped up for one out. And then Kiermaier gets on base, and then the next guy gets out, and now I'm on deck. And I'm just like, oh, man, this is happening. This is really going on. Like my name's about to get called upon, right? And Arozarena's up to bat. That guy had been lights out all playoffs. So, you know, he was getting on base. So I was literally just locking it in to win this game for us. And I kid you not, Rich, like I have never felt so confident in my life walking up. I thought I was going to have the jitters. I thought I was going to have some serious anxiety. But walking up, man, it was just this like peace about me, this calmness. That I was like, oh man, game over. Like I'm gonna win this game for us. And obviously the rest is history. But man, just not having a hit for 17 days, and then not having a hit for 30 to being called upon, man, what a special opportunity. I always thank God for the opportunity. But more importantly, my teammates and people who, you know, helped that happen, especially Kevin Cash for putting me in the game.
So I got to ask this question. I don't know if this you've been asked this 0 times, 100 times at all. So you get the hit, the insanity ensues with, you know, the ball being, you know, knocked askew and then thrown at in the home, and then it gets away from the catcher. When Arozarena scores and he's pounding on home plate, everybody runs right past him. In fact, some guys just jump right over him. They all go to you. No one even acknowledges that Arozarena is at the plate, like pounding on it. Like everyone just goes to you. Is that just a protocol? Like you're not allowed to do anything other than go mob the dude who got the hit? Because I found that amazing that no one even pats him on the head.
You know, Rich, I agree with you. I think they should have dogpiled him. But, you know, I think there's an unwritten rule in baseball that whoever I think gets the hit, that's who you dogpile. Yeah. You know, the pitcher throwing a no-hitter, even though the outfielder makes an unbelievable diving play, you know, to save the no-hitter. Right, like, it's that unwritten rule to mob the person who essentially, you know, was the last person to help win the game, I guess.
Right. I just love how everyone's like, just get out of the way, Arozarena. We got to go get Brett.
And, you know, let me tell you what. I had no intentions. I don't know what came to me to do the airplane around the outfield. That I've never done that before. That was not planned. I wasn't like in my head, if I win the game right here, I'm airplaning out in the outfield. that's the first thing that came to me. And, you know, that's just, that's who I am. You know, just high energy. I play the game, you know, like a kid would for the most part. I love this game. And so just, that was like a kid in the candy store moment for me, just running out in the outfield with like an airplane, just like, ooh. Oh my gosh. It was crazy. So,
I've read in books that players have said that whenever there's a big walk-off hit or you win a pennant, you know, you win a title, that 5, 10, 15 minutes afterwards is like just a blur and you almost don't remember it. Was that the case with you when both you won the pennant and you had that hit? Or is it not like I've read and you actually remember the whole thing crystal clear?
No, that's a great question. So I don't remember the hit at all. Like I remember walking up to the plate, but one of my buddies brought up to me, who's a baseball player. He's like, you know, I never noticed in the video when you get the hit, you're locked in on just running. Like most guys are like fist pumping around first base, you know, like that. I don't remember any of that. Just, I was locked in on running. And after the fact, I almost passed out, believe it or not. Like I had to get an IV once I got back into the clubhouse. Like I was severely dehydrated and like my resting heart rate was over 150. Like that's never happened before. I've never had to get an IV. And so I don't really remember much of the hit or like the interviews. I haven't even gone back and watched the interviews or anything, but no, it is exactly like you read. I think your body just lets off so much endorphins or whatever you want to call it. And you kind of just go into this fight or flight mode. Luckily it was a positive fight or flight mode, but just not really remembering anything just because of how big the moment actually was. And again, like it was just really hard for me to believe that, you know, I just did I just did that.
That's amazing. I could talk to you all night about just about the hit, but I want to chat with you a little bit. And by the way, what we're going to do tonight in Out of the Park Baseball 21 with Brett is we are going to take all of the different teams that you have played for, Brett, and we're going to put them into a tournament. So one of the things I want to do with you now is talk about each one of those teams, because you've had a very interesting career and you're just getting started, right? You're still in the, you know, the first few years of your Major League Baseball career. You were drafted by the Houston Astros, and then you were part of a big trade involving some really big names of some really important major leaguers, you know, names like Josh Hader, you know, Carlos Gomez, things like that. And you actually made your Major League debut in 2017 with the Milwaukee Brewers. So that's the first team that is in our tournament tonight, the 2017 Brewers. What was that team like? What do you remember, you know, its strengths, and what do you remember about that particular club?
Yeah, so when I got traded over to Milwaukee with the guys you said for Carlos Gomez, Milwaukee at the time were rebuilding and essentially getting rid of their veteran guys for prospects. And obviously it ended up working out in the tail end of 2018. But, you know, when I got over there, I was in Double-A. I was still developing as a prospect, kind of making a name for myself in the minor leagues. But, you know, and then in 2017, I had gotten called up from Triple-A. I had actually gotten called up because Travis Shaw was having his baby. So he got put on the 2-day paternity leave list. And I ended up making my debut against San Francisco. And, man, I experienced every emotion possible in a baseball game. I struck out. I got my first hit. I threw somebody out, and I made an error. So I really touched on everything.
That throw was a 104 mile an hour throw, by the way, I think that you're mentioning, right? You just forgot to mention that.
I mean, it was 104.7, but I don't want to really try and get into it. anyways, you know, humble brag. No, you know, I really enjoyed my time in Milwaukee. The fans were awesome, man. I really didn't spend too much time in Milwaukee, but when I was up there, they were, oh, wow. We'll talk about an unbelievable fan base. And, you know, at the time, I got to play with guys like Christian Yelich, Lorenzo Cain, Ryan Braun, just to name a few. And to learn from guys like that was just very impactful for myself and my career. And then I'll let you touch on when I got traded to Kansas City. But, yeah, it was a great, great first, you know, rookie season to be in Milwaukee.
So you spent, you know, 2017, the Brewers were your first major league club. You also did start the year with the Brewers, the 2018 Brewers. Was there a big difference between those two clubs? Were they very much the same, or were there differences between those two versions of the Brewers?
Yeah, so when we were trying to catch that last wild card spot in the tail end of 2017, I was in there every single day. I was a center fielder. I was playing good baseball. So going into 2018, I was thinking, okay, you know, I'm going to have an opportunity to start the year. I think I had like an 800 OPS. I hit like 270, couple home runs, played really well in 2017. But then Milwaukee went out, traded for Christian Yelich, rightfully so, and then signed Lorenzo Cain, like rightfully so. So they still had Domingo Santana, who had just hit, I think, 20-plus home runs. And then they had Ryan Braun, who wasn't going there as well. So Brett Phillips kind of got put on the back burner, rightfully so, for big-name guys. So I started the year in AAA, and I didn't get called up until, I think, somewhere in May maybe. But it was only just because maybe someone got hurt. So I never really got that full-time opportunity again in 2018, and then I got traded July at the deadline.
So then you go from the 2018 Brewers to the next team that we have in our tournament tonight, the 2018 Kansas City Royals. Very different team in a very different situation. What are your memories of when you first joined the Royals organization?
Yeah, so, you know, obviously getting traded over to Milwaukee, we were rebuilding. And then you see their prospects came together to be in a playoff hunt. And now I get traded over to another team who's rebuilding for Mike Moustakas, Jorge Lopez and I. And, you know, I get put in there right away. And I get like a few weeks, I would say 2 or 3 weeks of opportunity before I hurt my hamstring. But again, I was very familiar with the rebuild process. And I knew what was my expectations for myself and obviously the team at the time, which was very different from Milwaukee, having those veteran guys that they went out and signed in free agency, to being over in Kansas City now with, you know, young guys and who are very talented and trying to obviously come up have an opportunity to play in the playoffs.
Now, that Royals team only a few years earlier had defeated my beloved New York Mets. Was there still some of that championship aura hanging around, or do you think that, you know, the 2.5 years between had a lot changed with that Royals, you know, with that Royals team between that those two squads?
You know, here's what I say about if you win a World Series, you know, it literally you're doing something right, right? Like, obviously, we all strive to win a World Series. It's the hardest thing to do as a baseball player, and it's the main goal. So when I got over to Kansas City, they know what they're doing over there. Like, I know a lot of the times the fans are like, why are they making these moves? What's going on? They're not doing this. They're not doing that. Like, the Kansas City Royals, they won doing what they do. You know, like, to each his own. Like, there's, you know, different strokes for different folks. And the Kansas City Royals, they know what they're doing, and you can't challenge that because of the success they've had in the past. Yeah, it takes a few years to get back to that, but at the same time, you can't question what they're doing.
Yeah. So you then, moving on in the tournament, the next team in our tournament, you spent the 2019 in the employ of the Royals organization. What is your, you know, you look at that team, what was it best at? And, you know, what are your memories of that squad?
Yeah, so again, I had a lot of expectations going into the 2018 offseason. Like, all right, I'm going to be the man in 2019. I'm finally going to get an opportunity to perform on a consistent basis. And Kansas City goes out and signs Billy Hamilton and Terrence Gore, right? So then Brett Phillips gets put on the back burner again. Like, you know what, Brett? Like, we need you to go develop some more in AAA. Like, we know you've had like a 900 OPS in AAA, but you need to go develop. Okay, no questions asked. So I don't start the year in Kansas City, and I'm actually in AAA all the way through August 14th, so almost the whole season. And I get called up in August, and then playing time was sporadic. You know, I would play maybe once or twice a week, and that was a limited time. But at the same time, I knew what my role was. I accepted that as Brett Phillips, as a baseball player, and I continue to work hard. And obviously, the opportunity with the Rays would have never presented itself if I didn't go. I firmly believe if I didn't go about my business the right way.
Like at some point, do you or does your agent or you know your wife or does somebody like knock on the door of the general manager and say, do you know that I was a 2014 Astros minor league player of the year? Like, you know, come on, I've done this and I've done this well already. Or do you just sort of say, all right, like you said, they know what they're doing. They won a World Series and I'm just going to go with the program here.
Yeah, Rich, you know, a lot of players do. They have their agent call, say, what's up? Man, I'm a firm believer in everything happens for a reason. And I told my agent as much as maybe he wanted to at times to call and be like, yo, like, what's the deal? We stepped back. We understand that this is a business and, you know, it's just all about waiting for that opportunity to present itself naturally as opposed to forcing the envelope and then maybe things don't go the way they're supposed to be, you know, and then you're considered someone who, you know, has a bad personality or I never wanted to be deemed that kind of guy. So I've just always kept my mouth shut, went about my business the right way. And again, I'm a firm believer that the opportunity with the Rays presented itself because of the way I went about my business.
So before we get to the 2020 Royals, we're going to do the first of our giveaways tonight. And that is a replica, a signed replica right now for the next 60 seconds or so. If you hit exclamation point ticket in the chat, you will be entered to win a signed replica jersey. And not signed by me, signed by that guy, World Series hero Brett Phillips. So about 60 seconds or so. And we're going to do two more giveaways. So don't worry if you don't win the first one.
Sitting right there, ready to go.
Fabulous. Thank you. So while we let that giveaway fill up, let's talk about the 2020 Royals, right? So before the trade to Tampa, you were on the, again, in the employ of the Kansas City Royals 2020. What was your approach heading into this season and how did the season go for you before the trade?
Oh, again, Rich, man, I had big expectations, right? I'm 2020, like this is going to be my year. I'm out of options, right? So Kansas City cannot send me down to AAA without losing me, right? So then I'm like, all right, I'm going to get an opportunity here to show Kansas City fans why they traded for me, to show the front office why they traded for me. And then boom, we go out and sign Michael Franco, who's going to play third base. And then Hunter Dozier is going to go out to right field. Nicky Lopez is going to play second base. Whit Merrifield is going to go out to center. Alex Gordon is going to stay, and he's going to play left field. And Brett Phillips is going to get put on the back burner. And again, rightfully so. You know, these are moves that the front office is making to potentially try and win ball games. And I can't question that. Sure. They've won a World Series. They know what they're doing. And I'm not the type of guy that's going to open my mouth, run my mouth. Why am I not playing? I'm better than this guy. I'm better than that. That's never going to, you know, come out of my mouth. So high expectations, but then COVID hits, right? So I stay out in Arizona, me and my wife, when everyone went home for kind of their mini vacation, I stayed in Arizona, showed up every single day at the clubhouse. I worked out, didn't miss a day. And I took a lot of pride in saying, you know what? Like, I'm going to be ready for my opportunity. When spring training 2.0 comes about, like, there is nothing that is stopping me from making this team, even though the front office may not even see me making this team. I'm going to force their minds, right? So we open up spring training 2.0. I do really well. I'm playing good baseball. I think I'm playing good baseball. And then, boom, season opens up. I think I had three starts in the month of August, Rich. Three starts. I didn't play at all. No, explanation as to why I'm not playing. I'm just not playing. We went and we traded for Frenchy Cordero, who's a stud. Mm-hmm. I think, yeah, who's a stud, you know. And obviously other guys had to get playing time. And, you know, that's just the reality of it. I showed up every single day, tried to be the best teammate that I could be. I gave energy. I'm an energy giver. And again, boom, the Rays call and they want to trade for me. And I'm like, what? I'm not even playing. What do you mean the Rays want to trade for me? Like, what do you? And I, Rich, I go to my hometown team, the team I grew up rooting for, my favorite team. And man, I cannot feel more blessed to be where I'm at right now.
Well, that's amazing. And I want to talk to you about that for a second. But first, we're going to draw the winner of the replica jersey. And whoever the winner is, just DM me on Discord. You guys know how to get in touch with me. Rich G will get you all squared away. The winner of Brett Phillips' replica jersey is CVans4. Congratulations. Hit me up on Discord. And that's how we'll get you taken care of. Congratulations. Well done. But don't worry if you didn't win this time, guys. We've got two more amazing giveaways to go. But let's talk.
You can whisper me on Twitch as well. If you can't get a hold of Rich, you can the winner. What's his name? If you guys want to put it in the comments, CVan.
Yep, CVans4.
CVans4. You can whisper me on Twitch as well. Okay.
We'll get you squared away for sure. Thank you. So the 2020 Rays. Now, it's a known fact in baseball that if the Rays are acquiring you, that you are really, really, really good, right? They're just known for that. So I got to believe, Brett, that when the Rays said, we want you, you know this, right? Like baseball players, you guys know exactly, you know, how these front offices are thought of. That, you know, you had had a rough go of it for the last couple of years. You had to feel really good when the Rays acquired you, right? You had to, I imagine, think, all right, these guys see something in me that maybe some other people didn't.
Yeah, you know, it means a lot. And like you said, I always say when the rest of the league is playing checkers, the Rays are playing chess. And when it comes to their analytic department, it's above anything I've ever seen, times five. When I came from Kansas City, I was like, this is what they're doing with their pitchers? This is what they're doing with their hitters? This is the information they're giving? I was blown away. And you, like you said, like if the Rays trade for you, you do something really well that they've seen in their analytic department that teams haven't necessarily picked up on. And for the most part, they're pretty spot on. They take players and they take them to that next level. And I wasn't used to getting traded to a team that was playoff caliber already. I was used to, you know, being with teams that were in the rebuild stage with Houston, with Milwaukee and Kansas City. And then I get traded over to the Rays who are going to the playoffs. I was like, wow, this is what it feels like. This is where where I'm meant to be. Like, and this is awesome.
Nice. So that is the lineup for the Brett Phillips tournament, the 2017 and 2018 Brewers, the 2018, 19, and 20 Royals, and the 2020 Rays. So here's what we did, Brett, and I have not tipped Brett off to the results. So this is going to be straight off the cuff. We put all six of those teams into a 162-game season, and we played 162-game season again with just those six teams. You were on all six. You know all the players. You know the strengths, the weaknesses. I'm pretty sure you know which team is going to finish first. I'm more interested in who you think the second best team was of the teams that you have played on in that group of six? Because, you know, 2020 Rays, pennant winners, only didn't win the World Series because they ran up against one of the greatest assembled baseball teams of all time, and you still gave them an amazing run for the money. Who do you think the second place team was in that scenario we saw?
I'm going the 2018 Milwaukee Brewers after they acquired Christian Yelich and Lorenzo Cain and those guys.
All right. So before we unveil what the final standings are, we're going to do our second giveaway. And this is for the signed World Series baseball. And again, not signed by me, not signed by Chris Jardine, not signed by TJ Larriman, signed by the World Series hero. If I can point correctly, the World Series hero, Mr. Brett Phillips right there. We're doing the giveaway right now. So go ahead and once again, enter exclamation point ticket to get entered for your World Series baseball. There you go. Pointing is something that all of us have trouble doing when we got cameras and stuff going all over the place, people whispering in our ear, all sorts of stuff.
Yeah, all it's right, got the so, World Series logo on it and everything. And I'll inscribe game four hero for you.
There you go. Love it. I mean, by the way, before we look at the standings, you know that tag is going to follow you, right? Every time you're coming up to the at bat, every interview, every time it's going to be, oh, and here's World Series hero Brett Phillips. It's got to feel pretty good to know that that's a moniker that's going to stick with you forever, right?
Man, it's crazy. I'm so humbled to be, you know, given that title. Just to have my name with guys like Kirk Gibson and, you know, Derek Jeter, yeah, guys who are World Series heroes, and then Brett Phillips. And I'm just like, what? Like, no, like that, your name is not supposed to be in that category, dude.
Yeah, your hit was the first walk-off hit when your team was trailing in a World Series game to win the game since the 88 home run by Kirk Gibson. That's some pretty amazing company, and I never thought the commentary could be topped from the amazing call that was made. But I got to tell you, the announcer, you know, that we heard, the announcing crew that we heard calling your walk off, they got really into it. That was a pretty wild scene. And again, it's going to be remembered by anybody who watched that World Series. And that was a heck of a World Series.